Do you want to leap right in? Do dwarf stuff? Any more tangents that absolutely need to happen first?
No.
The Sunday Skypers. Burning beards.
So, Ovkjell wants to deal with a singing witch later at some point, and he wants to recover lost Nog recipes, and then we have a very long belief with lots of goals.
Yeah. Just getting longer and longer and longer.
Let's shelve, like, the ass end of that belief. You want to open the breweries of Skorey Deep, right?
So yeah.
Step one is dealing with a spider infestation. Deal with the spiders.
Yeah.
Boom. And then you have a goal that you can go for. And then if you find a specific way to deal with the spiders, you can even write that in if you like. So it's clean and nice and easy to judge for your poor ailing GM.
Shorten it down to, I will reopen the Brewer's Scurry Deep by dealing with the spider infestation.
Super, super. For Flint, are your beliefs still like relevant? You still want to broker a peace with the spiders?
Sure.
Because you don't know, right, that they're about to be incinerated.
If I had half my head, I would. But no, I don't. I'm unfortunately distracted and terrible dice rolls and throwing away all my Arta.
You can consider it recycling Arta, since it's going into your skills. So learn Skorey Deep secrets. And that was the current goal, was to scout out the Northern Dwarves with you, which you delegated. You can still leave that as it is, I guess. And anytime you like push to learn new secrets, you would earn fate. Mm. And if there's a specific secret you find that you want to learn about that is more relevant maybe than the Northern Dwarves right now, you could whip up something like, you know, I will definitely find that broken tablet thing that I heard about from the Spider Queen or something.
Well, for me to hear about it from the Spider Queen, I think I have to visit her first.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, something might happen, and then you might go, oh, this is a specific secret I want to learn, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then I can give you those precious, precious fate points that you keep spending.
No, see, you're making the assumption I can roll sixes.
Did I say fate points? I meant persona points.
Those I spend like water.
Yes. If you're happy, we can move on.
I'm happy.
I guess Fandral and Ulfkill might have overlapping ideas of how to deal with the spider infestation. We will see. But yeah, that appears to be Fandral's goal as well. And to ensure Flint is not eaten by the spiders. Did you have that last session?
No. What?
Get eaten by spiders?
No. Okay. Because that would have been so very appropriate, like dashing in and like grabbing him.
Should have added it.
Yeah. The prince is being very heroic, so I have to give him credit for that.
Stop being heroic. Dwarf. Stop hogging the MVP.
Nah, nothing wrong with that. That's because he's the prince.
He's just playing his character. You're still interested in leading the trapped dwarves away from the spiders.
Yeah, I don't think anything's changed there.
Cool. And Slate is off on a family adventure, so that's very convenient. All right, we're back in the crevice, in the cave, next by the Debrisfield River stream, right? And all the spiders, and you're trapped and sweaty, and Vandrel has just made the sign to throw the oil at the fire. And Ulfkill is trying to say something?
Yeah, remember, Ulfkill is actually not in the crevice. He's out amongst the spiders drawing in the dust.
Well, I'm factoring that distraction into my plan.
Because he's totally obsessed and he's totally lost any fear right now because he hasn't realized he's talking to spiders yet in his little hindbrain.
You know, Ulfkill, if you were so obsessed that you would get in the way of Fandral, that would be worth a fate point. You know that, right? Because you have that trait.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but of course, it flies my other trait, which is to follow orders.
That is true, right? But
an order has to be given for you to follow it. And I think you are being used.
Because I'm hitting two traits. I know I'm hitting two traits, impulsive and obsessed. So, yeah, I'm out there trying to find out what the condition of this brewery is. If it's like the other one, it's probably just a write-off at this point.
Flint. You have that instinct, never leave a task undone. And Ulfkill is sort of making you translate, right? Or convey his stuff.
He is trying to convince me that I should be doing beer talk with the spiders. Well, I am trying to actually parlay.
All right.
So he is more of a thorn in my side. Sidelong glance. than a taskmaster at this point.
I said that if Flint wants to convince Fandral that he needs to go parlay or whatever, we've got to go to dice for that, because I don't see Fandral being convinced any other way.
I think we already failed that role.
I think he didn't actually go there.
Yeah. What I'm saying to Flint is basically, if you want that instinct to get you in trouble, you could be drawn into the whatever possible unpleasant, troublesome condition that Ulfkill is about to get into as well. And that would earn you a fate. If you're fate hungry, I don't know. Maybe you're full of fate.
My meme is, fate is for trying, persona is for doing.
Yeah. What if when you roll like 3 sixes?
Yeah, like that ever happens.
Yeah.
It's up to you. Like maybe you're not also drawn out as far among the spiders as Ulfkill. If you don't want it to get you in trouble, that's fine.
But where's the fun in that?
We might need to do a little fictional positioning, because I thought it was spiders, Flint, Ulfkill, and the dwarves. And then at some point, Flint got pulled back.
Yes.
So I imagine it's now spiders, Flint, Ulfkill, and then the dwarves and the prince.
The other way around, right?
No, Ulfkill is out there. He's grabbing men. He's grabbing legs and pointing at things. Yeah, this.
Okay, so he's gotten himself into the danger zone.
Yes.
Actually, I think we're going to let the prince execute his order, or try to execute his order, and run with that.
You're not drawn out.
No, not yet. I'm drawn for Ulfkill's safety, but not for his quest for beer tech.
All right. So in this instance, you're not like, I should absolutely translate everything that Ulfkill says, because that is my task.
I will inflict a different instinct on me. I'll go back and get my axe. I left that on the ground.
But that's about sleeping. You're not sleeping now, right?
The intent of the instinct is to always have your axe at hand.
Fair enough. I mean, if you want to get in trouble for getting your axe, that's fine too. I'll go either way.
Okay. I think we'll get our axe, because it's a precious thing. It is something I might actually be greedy over.
Okay, Fandral, since two of your most trusted quote-unquote dwarves don't seem to have any sense in them, you're going to face a slightly larger obstacle, and failure in your strategy test will not mean that you don't set spiders on fire. It will mean that you draw one or both into the danger zone, so to speak, as well. Let's ask Fandral what his intent is with this fiery burning, spider burning thing. Do you want to eliminate them, or do you want to intimidate them?
The intent would be so that all of our little dwarven party can get away safely.
Okay, so it's more a distraction or...
Yeah. Intimidation.
Yeah, it's more about driving them away so you get a chance to beat feet.
Yes.
That sounds like an ob 2, which I'm going to raise to an ob 3 since you're using strategy instead of tactics. Strategy is more about guiding armies through war, but I think they overlap. It's just that this is a much smaller army, quote unquote.
Yeah, we have so many overlapping skills in this system.
Indeed. But on the other hand, when you have tons of them, you can fork.
Yeah.
I'm going to add one, because an extra to ob 4, since you have those two boneheaded dwarves out among the spiders, right?
But I get an advantage because they're distracting the spiders from what I'm doing.
Sure. I'll give you that. Also, don't forget that since you now have a plan in place, you can use your call-on trait if you were to like roll really poorly.
Fandral? Roll poorly?
The obstacle is 4, and you have an extra die for distraction.
I'll fork in throwing, because we're going to be throwing our lanterns to spill oil. And
You're throwing too?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So you're making Molotovs.
You could fork in intimidation.
Sure, if you let me do that, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll throw one persona here. Get me to 9.
Cool.
In normal math, that would be a good chance of success.
So if you succeed, you know, you're going to get your thing. And if you don't, Flint and Ulfkill are going to get kind of caught up in the flames. Not necessarily burned, but they're going to be in the mess.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time for Ulfkill.
Look at... Unfirth and other excellent. Okay, ready? Now! And flames erupt.
oil and I don't know. Did you make little like dwarf Molotov cocktails or what are you doing?
Yeah, we're using our oil and using lanterns to serve as flame distribution.
Cool. Okay.
Now what now?
Oh dear.
That's where I've got the call on trait, fortunately, to reroll all of those massive number of traitors.
All the traitors, yes. You have 2 successes and 7 traitors.
Holy cats.
Yep.
Okay, I take back my curse. You don't need it.
There we go. 7 successes.
Yeah, way above what you need.
Will opening 6s help any?
For successes, I don't know.
Keep certain dwarves from catching fire would be nice.
Well, you still, I mean, you succeeded, so that's it won't do anything extra. Like, it won't.
I mean, all thing I can think of is this extra duration, keeping the spiders back.
All right.
Or extra coverage.
Let's put it that way, right? The more successes you get over the obstacle, the more time you have to skedaddle.
All right. Okay, so a total of 8 successes then.
Cool. Okay, so that's 4 over. So, yeah, that's a good amount.
Flame erupts all around the spiders.
Yes, around them, on them. You can hear this horrible screeching, kind of hissing. And Flint, in your head, you hear this soul-rending, piercing cry of agony in that kind of
spider. I'll put my hands to my ears. They're burning! They're burning!
Bloody hell!
Grab Flint by the collar again and start running.
Yes. So I guess Ulfkill's your journeyman companions, right? Bear and Aethelwald come and swoop you up, you know, and drag you away.
Yeah.
I can see the bodily lifting him.
Yes.
But I was getting through to them.
Trundle off with you like a keg.
Do you want to put yourself in further horrible situations there, Ulfkill?
No, I'll let myself get carried away. In more ways than one. No, I'll just complain.
They're just, you know, going, hush, you fool! They were going to kill us all, eat us!
But, I could taught them how to brew!
He's gone insane, says Aethelwald. They both have! All right, so you hustle it up the river, I guess, or next to it.
Yeah.
As far as you can without having to, like, climb. Like, it seems that the spiders aren't following, but Flint, you can still hear in your head this low moaning sort of, you know, if you imagine a creature that's been burned on 80% of its body and it's just sort of dragging itself away to some hidey hole and it's in extreme excruciating pain. And it's in that sort of spidery, hissing, whispery voice like, stuff. I can't do it, but you can imagine.
That's okay. My imagination is sufficient to realize it's going to take a lot of beer to wash that memory away.
Yeah. You can almost feel like your own skin melting off. It's bad.
Okay. We'll add a little insult to injury there.
Because it's in your head, right? Now you realize that it's not that you heard it. It's that it was in your head.
Burns! It burns!
Well, in my head, then I'll mumble.
Oh, you know what you hear? You hear, Mother, help! That kind of thing.
Oh, great. Well, I'm feeling bad because the spiders got burnt. I'm feeling bad because I was not able to parley. I'm feeling bad because I left a task undone. So poor Flint is in the dumps. I mean, like, he's almost dragging his axe back to camp.
When you say up the river, are we going to
you came a good ways up,
back?
Right? You came a good ways up. But if there's nothing you want to do or address here, we can jump back to Scoria. Otherwise, you're like standing there panting, sooty, sweaty. We got away.
I'm preferring a long, quiet, grim, hopes-dashed slog back to Scoria.
Distant echoes of Anguille's smug laughter in your head. Don't forget.
Yeah. Now when you put it that way, that offers hope that it wasn't all my fault.
Oh, like, he's not, like, laughing presently. It's the memory, right? It's still...
Oh, the memory. Okay, so I'm just goading myself. Ah, yeah, we can do that.
All right.
So, if dwarves have greed, do elves have depression?
Yes, they have grief.
Oh!
they get really sad. Like, if they have to lie or if they have to kill someone, like, yeah.
Okay, that was just a wild-ass guess, but...
Unless they, you know, turn to spite, which is when they become dark elves and are horrible people.
Yes.
Well, that did not end on the note I wanted.
On the way back, I'll go to Ufgal. We had once talked about you coming up with devices that could hurl flame. You should start working on that.
I'm
sorry, I should not have watched Aliens the other day, because now I'm like watching, seeing dwarves with flamethrowers, and I'm hearing the Alien soundtrack, like, the spiders dying everywhere.
The only way to be sure.
Yes, the only way to be sure. we should use...
I have an idea.
To tactical flame them from above. It's the only way to be sure.
I'll set my mind to it, Leech. I'll see what I can come up with. I get to use MacGyver-wise again.
good luck with that.
It'll be some sort of contraption that probably looks like in an Archimedean Greek fire machine or something.
You mean it's not going to involve frying pans?
Nah, but it's just a frying pan. It's to hold the fire in front of the nozzle.
That means you might have to craft a fuel ale for this.
Nah, we just need oil and maybe some pitch and maybe some naphtha and some other things so it sticks and burns.
Okay, you want to cobble together a flame hurling machine?
Yeah, a Greek fire machine. Only this is going to be dwarf fire. I start yelling at them, okay, you know, let's see what we can find in terms of big kettles. We're going to need to make some sort of pump.
There's a delightful dwarven skill called war engineer, which is what you use to construct and field terrible war engines and have to destroy fortifications from below. So this is what you would use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this
it would be.
Fire-breathing monstrosity. This iron dragon, for lack of a better term, it's rooted in will/perception, so you can use either if you don't have it, and you don't.
Yep, the same, so it doesn't matter which one I choose. It'll be a B6.
Yeah, if you're going to build this, I guess you would need a good deal of material. It depends on how ambitious you are. Like, let's go back in Ulfka's mind. Like, what is this device? Is it a handheld device? Is it like...
It's on a cart. We'll put some of your thick leather cladding on it to keep it from burning, or if we can get some metal cladding to keep it from burning. Basically, it consists of a large tank of something that's flammable and sticky, and then there's either a bellows pump or a more primitive piston pump. You know, basically, it's something we can just pump and pump the fluid through a nozzle. The nozzle goes over a pan full of burning naphtha or burning whatever, and catches fire and then sprays out in a big gout of fire 10, 20 feet.
Okay, so how do you answer the print? Is this something doable that Ulfkill sees as
Oh, it's crawling
realistic?
Around his head right now. Yeah, if he finds some charcoal and a blank wall, he starts sketching it out.
All right, so you're still on the way back, and you're like, oh, hold on a minute, and you're like starting to draw diagrams on the wall. Okay. I think Bear, Aethelbald, and Rory are all looking on over your shoulder like, oh, like they never knew you had this in you. All right, so Fandral, Ulfkill is getting all like into this whole, we need this and we need that, and blah, 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 and maybe you could tell that he's not focusing on the fact that, you know, you might need to get all these things from somewhere.
Well, we've got a well-provisioned company, and we've got a city.
A city in ruins, though.
Aye, but we can find some old copper or lead pipes. They do. Yeah. And I bet we ransack enough, we'll find a big pot. Big enough to fashion onto. I can use my Black Mare Artificer to do all the welding.
I guess my question to the group, would you like to zoom out a little and then we, you know, we focus on this project? We could do a little like Army of Darkness montage where you're like assembling the war engine.
I can see dwarves getting hammers and picks out and bashing open walls looking for pipes. And somewhere there's an ancient kitchen being raided for all its big stew pots.
Is there anything else someone wants to do immediately or can we like focus on that?
I asked Flint if there was anything interesting in the Goddard Dam Hall.
Oh, right. Okay. If you want to have like a scene like that, we can do that. And then we could, you know, move on to, you know, creating the war engines. Because Ulfkill's like, oh, I need to find some paper to sketch all this down and make a list of all the things I need, right? And while he's off doing that, we can have the Flint and Fandral conversation. Like, where would this take place? On the way back or in the Scoria Hall that the princess set up?
I could see it happening on the way back. Flint, we'll say he's oddly quiet. And when the good prince tries to get information out of him, it's a big place. I still haven't scratched the surface.
That's someplace we need to go check out while Ulfkell does his tinkering.
Hmm. I would appreciate your help. Your skills with the dwarven tongue far exceed mine.
Sounds like a good idea. Till Ulfkell has his war engine ready, we won't be ready to go take on those spiders. And unless we hear news on the Breccia dwarves or have to deal with something with the humans, I guess exploring the goddamn hold would be a good use of our time.
I'd appreciate that.
If that's the extent of your conversation, like you're like, well, let's go do this thing. We can do that, and then we can do the whole big, huge war engine thing. Because you know, the prince can always contribute to the war engine thing via resources without necessarily being on the spot.
That's
so
true.
You could be doing that concurrently, if you will. I mean, Flint could always help too if you like instruct people, like, oh, you know, this is where things would be in a hold, because I know about holds.
That's true. Yeah. But he ain't going to do it.
Ah.
Because he's still got screaming spiders in his head.
I like it. Okay. He is distracted. All right, back to killing spiders with fire.
Yes.
Yes, with fire.
Poor defenseless spiders. Baby spiders, too, yes. Think about that. Think about that for a moment.
Get more of them in a blast.
All right. So I guess we do the scene where Fandral and Flint return to the Gotterdam hold, the empty, ghostly reanimator strings hold. Are you returning on your own? Are you bringing more dwarves with you? Are you relieving the dwarves you had with you for other rested axe bearers? Or what's this like? How are you approaching this?
I mean, we'll take a couple axe bearers because, you know, it's always good to have somebody say, hey, go do this.
Right.
Actually,
you're the prince, after all.
I could see that spending a few hours at least getting cleaned up and nourished before heading there, instead of showing up all sooty and bedraggled. It's a throwaway line, but just the mental image of maybe gotten all the spider webs and soot out of his beard and just taking the time to reflect and get his ducks in a row.
Have a few beers.
Yes.
Okay.
To provide the mental image that we're not going in following one flaming disaster after another. We're not doing good with fire. Well, the prince is, but...
If you take the time to clean up, have a beer, wash your face and beard, I think the clinging dread from your back and forth with the ghost, with the Elven Ethearch, that sort of melts away, or at least goes to the back of your head where it's not really itching so much. So you can take away that plus one orb.
That's all we needed, just a beer. Settle the nerves.
And I guess in this time, the rest of you would like to start to set up, like, okay, Fandral will go. Mm-hmm. We need this and this and this from our stores and go do it. All right, so you return to the Gotterdam hole then, a couple of hours later, cleaned up with a couple of axe bearers. Let's name two new axe bearers because the others are on leave. Not on leave, they're on different duties.
I'll grab one if you grab the other.
All right.
Grenier.
Cuthred is the other one.
Which one of these dwarves has been with Fandral since you were in the like very first military hosts?
Cuthred.
You've probably been through an awful lot together, so you know you can trust him and stuff. What's a distinguishing physical quality that, or like aspect that he has?
He's got like big pop-out eyes.
He misses nothing.
He's got bug eyes. Is he like Marty Feldman?
Yeah, or the actor who played the Klingon leader in The Next Generation.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. He had bug eyes, didn't he?
So, Flint, how is Grinher marked by the Goblin Wars? I mean, he can totally be lame and shit, but he's still functional.
One of his ears is short because part of it got bitten off. He fingers what's left as a nervous habit.
Nice.
We can make you a nice leather one.
I'm guessing Cuthred is holding a lantern just in case, and Grineer is sort of bringing up the rear, fingering his savage ear.
It's not that scary of a place.
No, no, but, you know, it's habitual. It is a little creepy since it's like, it's this very regal, spacious place that is, you expect it to be sort of filled with dwarven voices and stuff, and now it's just silent and empty, and there's this inexplicable, moaning, subterranean breeze moving through the halls and spaces, right? And the like tattered banners and
tapestries. I was actually going to say, when the tapestries were here, I imagine they would move and ripple like rivers. Well,
we've come to see the tapestries.
Sadly, they're mostly eaten.
or the good ones were removed.
Yes. So, it's been pillaged. Absolutely.
I point out to the prince the library that I found earlier. This is where I started my research. And this is where I also found that agreement that I showed you earlier.
You still carrying that?
Of course. Perhaps you can make more of it than me.
Well, sure, there's some good information here, so we'll start doing a little sorting through stuff and look for...
This is where the game turns into Call of Cthulhu, and we do research!
In this case, it's what we want. While it's true that the crest is probably hanging on a wall, I would imagine it would be something that they would take. So what I'm looking for, since now I actually have someone who can help mm-hmm. me with some of these scripts, is if the Goddardams were to fall back, where would they fall back to? What holdings do they have? Maybe they have something on the surface, and they went that direction instead of going into Marl. So maybe that's why there's not too many Goddardams in my personal family tree. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they all got heinously slaughtered, but I need to know more, and Grandfather just wasn't really forthcoming.
Or maybe they made a side tunnel to the northern underway and started a new dwarven city.
They may have just all relocated north and said, wait a minute, we're missing a few. They got split up in the confusion. So definitely trying to find histories of holdings and just trying to get some kind of clue to where the crest would have gone, since I can't imagine it would be here. But I still want to look just in case, because I would rather find the empty spot of the crest than to say I didn't search at all.
All right. So I guess you have a slightly different intent this time.
Yeah, if I can get an ancient history test out of this, that would be good for me.
All right. You just need one. Yeah. What kind of test? Routine?
Routine.
So I guess it's another research test. Flint started to open that last session, I think, or the session before that. I'm misremembering. It was Slate who did research last session.
Yeah.
And Flint was doing other stuff. I think we did rune
script. Rune script, yes, because that's something I actually am capable of doing.
But this feels like a research test. You're trying to find data on where things would be. Let's make it a research test. You can do it, and Fandral could help, I guess, with ancient history.
All right.
Since you can help stats with skills, but you cannot fork into them. See, I know Burning Wheel.
Yay!
I succeeded.
It's like, I know Kung Fu.
Burning Wheel wise.
Yes. Navigating intricate rulebook-wise.
Our research is based on?
Based on perception.
Well, I have a handy 5 in that.
So 5 dice, and I think finding... Well, it's relevant information from a native language text. So obstacle, mm-hmm. which would be doubled to 6.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got a helping die, and yeah, well, let's burn a couple of persona die, because I'm in...
Alas, that would be a different kind of test. Than what Fandral wants. Maybe Fandral wants to help with another skill that he needs, I don't know, a challenging or difficult test in.
Okay, meta-wise, what
actually,
would be appropriate?
Actually, screw that. Ignore me. I'm thinking about the double for yeah, never mind.
So I'd still be my 4, I guess, in obstacle 3 would be what I'd be using.
Is that difficult, though?
It would be difficult.
It would be difficult, okay. I mean, if you still want to do use that skill, that's cool. If you have another that you can apply, that
Rune
would
script.
Be... Script. Yeah.
Fork in more the merrier. So I'm opening research?
You are opening research, yes. Since it is based on perception and you have, what, a 5?
Yeah.
That means it takes 5 routine tests before doubling, which is what this is, right? Before doubling. So it counts toward opening it.
Or could I do some sort of link thing where I do some ancient history to sort through this. And this section is where would be what you're looking for. And then he rolls on that with a bonus die or something.
If you would not like to directly help, but go, wait a minute, I used to live here. What do I remember? Right. And what do my chronicles say?
Go with your oral history instead of the written history.
Well, if he's bringing his chronicles, he gets an extra die on his test, right?
Oh.
So you might have you sent Sigibert away. So maybe if you want to be axe bearers are actually carrying the great chronicles if you want to bring them, right?
All right.
In that case, you could consult the chronicles and knowing what Flint wants, right? And we could make it a linked test. So you do your history, and then if you succeed, Flint gets an extra die.
I just so totally imagine Cuddy going, I served in the Goblin Wars, and now I'm schlepping books. Yes, I gave him a nickname of Cuddy already.
Of course, it's in that good-natured way because, you know, they've probably saved each other's lives countless times.
That's five plus how many piles of die?
Hold on.
Sure.
Let's do the ancient history test first, see if Fanel can aid you. Okay, so it would be relatively recent history. Yeah, you're not looking for, obscure figures. These are, nobles, or they're a prominent clan, at least. So let's make this an ob-2. It's an ob-2 ancient history test. So you're going to get your routine test that you need.
I get a bonus die because I have my chronicles with me. Is that right? So
yes.
So five. There's two.
Ta-da!
I do have a six if that'll help to open it.
It wouldn't. Not in this case.
Oh, yeah. Here's information about the Goddard Dance back in the day. So if you don't want to go back more than 200 years here to find this information, so it's probably in that stack of stuff.
Awesome. So that's an extra die for Flint, meaning you have six dice now against an obstacle of six. I guess I should give you stake stuff. If you fail, you are still going to find places to go to. Whether they are the right place or a safe place is not true. The situation there is going to be different depending on if you succeed or fail.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to throw down a couple of persona to get that to 8 versus 6.
Mm-hmm.
And
those are spent on perception since
good to know. Come on, I haven't had a good die roll in months. Let's see, 8d6. That's 4 successes. Mm-hmm. And 2 sixes.
I would fate that.
Yes, we will. And mm-hmm. That's 2d6. 25% chance. We can do this.
Nope.
There's this quiet palatial glade that they owned on the surface. They would go there for absolute safety and.
I think I like where you're going because the history of the Goddard Dams is coming from topside, if you will. So certainly the only reference you find is to a. Not like a farm necessarily, but it's kind of a retreat or storage that is on the mountainside.
Outside. Actually, if you look at the map, there's a hidden valley.
Okay.
No, literally there is. If you look at the map to the east, to the west of Scoria Deep, there's this little green glop of a hidden valley, which would be perfect to hide in because it's, well, surrounded by mountain.
I could see Goddardam saying, we need a little hidey hole, bolt hole that isn't full of goblins or whatever. Sure, let's go with that.
If you think that's cool, I'm not going to go but that would be 2-3 days away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not something that would be in the backyard. It's okay. A place to run to. And who says that the maps that I have that lead to it are accurate or maybe even intentionally misaccurate? Yeah, is that a word?
I love it when you give me failure conditions. you see the reference, and it mentions the place. It's like, where's that? You have no reference to it elsewhere. No maps showing the path. It would take a scout to find it.
It just so happens I know a few. But, this is really good information, sir. Unfortunately, it's not in Scoria.
Maybe we should check out around Scoria first, just in case it's actually here, before we go running off somewhere else.
Absolutely. It's just a trail. So perhaps we can spread out and do a quick look around the house and see if we can find the shield.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. Okay.
I don't want to take too much of your time, sir. I know you're busy, and at some point, the Brickia dwarves will want an audience.
Yeah, if we can find them.
Let's finish up here. No task undone if we can help it. then we can head back to the company.
All right. The two axe bearers are now slightly less bored that you are combing through the clan hold. But yeah, you realize fairly quickly that it's been almost picked clean. Any obvious artifact has been removed. You do find like a vault further in, which has been cracked open.
Oh.
It doesn't look like it was made, like it was, it's not something you would ever expect the serpent people, humans, to do, because it bears the marks of dwarf tools.
Dooney's people.
Yeah, that's a thread that's left dangling that we need to snip. Well, to say that I'm disappointed is not quite true. It's almost what I expected, but at least I have a couple of paths to investigate. Here's a quick kind of meta question. Are any of Dooney's people in Scoria Deep, or are they smarter than that?
On what level are you asking? Because maybe there are people there who would be loyal to Dooney, maybe even within your expedition. Or are you asking, like, are there spies in Scoria? Or are there people who are, like, hanging around, but they haven't announced themselves, right? It's kind of an in-fiction question, right?
I guess that's something that will have to be determined then.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope there's not any our part.
If it's a suspicion of yours that you want to pursue, you could always write to Belief about it.
I think I will ponder that as we head back to the company.
Okay. Let's do the war machine.
Cue the montage music.
There we go.
The first music that came up was Yakety Sax.
I'm hearing the music from Army of Darkness when they're, we can take these deadites, we can take them with science.
The music comes to my mind is from Blazing Saddles and then building the fake city.
With all of our different montage musics included, let's see if we can make a war machine, a war engine. I think this is going to be a linked test, and we are going to like cover stuff like you want to scavenge stuff from Scoria, you want to use readily available resources, you want to cobble them all together into the thing you want to do.
Yeah, so that sounds like I'm using a bunch of skills I haven't fully learned yet.
If you can find stuff with like scavenging, then you don't have you won't have to spend as much of the resources you brought with you, either raw resources or by dismantling stuff like wagons and brewing equipment. It would be scavenging, a resource test, and then the making of the thing.
Be using my learning skill, scavenger, and then I would be using my resources, which aren't too bad. Not like certain princes, but
I think the prince would do the resources and you would help. Let's do the scavenging test first.
Can I get any help from others out there? Or?
Yeah, I think you can get two helping dice from the other dwarves that you have with you that are available. The whole montage part where breaking into the kitchens, like you said.
Yeah, and breaking open walls and looking for the sewer pipes and stuff like that.
Yes, grabbing stuff and stripping metal and putting all of it in piles.
Now, it's a learning skill for me, so that means that whatever the obstacle is, it's doubled. So what's the obstacle?
I'm looking for things like pots and pipes.
Yeah.
That's common household.
Yes.
So it's ob 2, so it's ob 4. Okay, so it doubles ob 4.
But it counts toward opening scavenging, so you can mark that.
All right, so that's going to be 6 dice plus 2 helping dice, so it's 8 dice.
And Flint is totally not helping because you're all, you know, caught up in your clan stuff.
Matter of fact, it's even worse than that, because I'm updated my belief to look for Dooney's cohorts in Scoria.
Ooh.
So I'm going to put on the heavy cloak and start snooping around instead of helping.
Oh, delightful.
I have 6 successes. If I pop the 6, will I get better stuff to work with?
It won't help the next test, but we could always say that you find more material quickly, more quickly, right? Yeah. So it takes less time to assemble.
Would it be that I find enough stuff to make 2 of them?
No.
No.
Oh,
I know what it is, though. You found a broken fountain with a dragon's head for a spout.
That'll work. Let me see what happens if I pop that six. It's real quick. Okay, but still, yeah. I mean, I got six successes over four. I mean, mm-hmm. I probably got something very, very appropriate. It's probably made out of rock instead of metal, but it works.
So now we go to the resources test. And since you have more material readily available, you're going to get a bonus die.
And I'm helping, so I'll get another die off of me for my resources.
Yes. And Fandral rolls gray resources dice, which is awesome. So your helping dice are converted to gray.
It's good to be the prince.
Let's say it's an ob 5 resources test. I'm going to be generous and say it's tools for special skills. The skill is...
Yeah, we're trying to find a more or less intact blacksmithy. Because a lot of this stuff requires me to actually, you know, heat the stuff up and melt and weld it together.
Yeah. Well, you know, Scoria is full of the odd. The industry parts, anyway, that's not going to be a problem, like having a workshop. You'll just clean one out and start doing what you do. So it's an ob 5, and we have Fandral's resources of G7, I guess, plus two dice. So G9, which should be a routine resources test for Fandral. Which doesn't really count since if you fail, it just means that you didn't have enough handy stuff, or you mm-hmm. find later that some of the scavenged stuff you scavenged are not up to snuff. So you're going to get a penalty to the making test. It doesn't mean that you don't have anything. Oh, very nice.
I think we got just a pipe and cask you're looking for. Will this work as a seal?
Mushroom resin. Or bug resin. I don't know what you would use.
All right. So war engineer. So what is this? Is this equivalent of a small stone thrower or a siege arbalest?
Diabolical device.
Yeah. It's intricate.
We don't have.
So I'm going to have to look at it that way instead of like size. Right. It's not a large something, but it's intricate. Yeah. Let's say ob 5.
All right, so doubles to 10.
And before you do any testing, like if you succeed, you make it. Great. Like you have your crazy fire-breathing wagon war engine. If you don't, you're still going to make it, but it's going to be unreliable.
Dangerous.
Would it be a dangerous war engine, yes. Dangerous to the people fighting it.
You mean dangerous to Ufkel?
It's not going to be directly dangerous, as in, you know, you make it and then it
explodes.
It's going to be like when you apply it, you're going to be more in danger than if you had succeeded.
So I have my basic 6. Do I get any bonus dice from that good resource roll?
Yes, you have an extra die.
So that's 7 on an ob 10. I think I will spend 3 persona to take it up to 11 dice.
Tap your greed because you're trying to get your breweries back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Greed. So that only costs what?
This is to take the breweries back. Oh, great.
You're right. So, you're right. Make a greed test. Yes.
No. Spend 1 persona and you can tap your entire greed.
So that picks me to 12. 12 dice. This is difficult, isn't it?
Let's see. Yeah, it's going to be a difficult greed test.
Spin up the persona against my will or my it's will or perception, isn't it?
You can use either.
I'm going to put it against my will.
This is interesting. This is so very Ulfkel. It's not that you're very smart about it. It's that you are loud and like, you should do this, and this is how I meant it to be. And it's more social getting people to do the thing you designed, right? Instead of like being silent and doing your own thing.
You know, I'm going to spend 2 more, so I take up the 14 dice.
Whoa. How many persona total are you spending? You can spend in total 3 on any one test.
One dice hit greed, and 2 more persona give me 2 more dice, so total of 3. 12,
let's hope you roll some traitors so you can spend some fate as well.
Yep. And, no, don't have to. War engineer is one of those cheaty dwarvy skills.
It is when you open it, but you are now using will.
Ah, okay.
I know. Oh,
I tried.
Same thing. I know. I keep doing the same mistake.
14, D6...
Oh, nice. Ooh,
yeah, I have 2 sixes I can pop, so I'll spend a fate to pop those. So that's
10, right? Yeah.
So it's close. Almost a success. Just one away.
We think it's going to work perfectly, right?
Oh, yeah. It is magnificent.
When we do the test in the open courtyard, we set fire to the fountain, it works really well there.
As this whole montage is happening and you're building this thing, the myriad humans who are in Scoria are like, you know, they're drawn to what you're doing and they're like watching, trying to like figure out what the hell you're doing. And then it like fired. Whoa. It's like, it's almost like you can sense sort of a religious interest. It's like you're almost like making an effigy of their god. You get it? Right? So. I think you may have converted some of the humans who were critical or suspicious of dwarves, right? By this display of obvious reverence for their deity, right?
Excellent.
And I can see Wolfkill because he's, you know, going into the battle, but this thing's on fire. So he's wearing his gear for working on the forges. So he's got the big leather apron, you know, yeah. And he's got his face mask and goggles on.
Yeah.
He's got his beard tied up and basically he's taken his beard and tied it into a tight ponytail and then stuffed it down his shirt, more or less. And he's got his big, thick leather gloves on, you know, and you know, he's just ready to go to war. We'll show them a liege! Those bastards!
And we'll make a batch of the Molotov cocktails, too, because we got to throw those around just to...
Yeah. I'm not gonna make you test for that. You succeed at your resources.
did we actually find some naphtha?
Well, you have things that burn oil, so forth.
Probably, like you said, wax and tallow and oil, just so they all together kind of stick together and burn because oil runs too much, but the wax and tallow may actually stick and burn longer. So yeah, it's a mix. Definitely gotta pump it.
That part of the montage is Ulfkill standing over a kettle and it's all bubbling and. Imagine these horrible smells coming out of it and just dwarves coming by and measurements.
And then every so often he gets a ladle, dips it in, walks away from the kettle far enough, and then throws it over an open flame and sees how it burns.
Oh, yeah.
Big fireball. Based on my learning skills, I would make one hell of a siege. I'm learning. I have MacGyver-wise. I have war engineers, stone artificers. One of these days, if they ever become real skills, I'd be dangerous.
Yeah, next season. Watch out. For Todd, I don't know if we want to keep big, huge secrets. How do you feel about that?
I had to find out if I was muted or not. This one, yes. I'll try not to make a habit out of it.
Do you think like maybe we could support the play you want to do? Together in some way? Do you have a belief that this contravenes or like...
I have a belief that backs it up.
I don't want like big, huge, you know, super secret reveals. So, it's better to keep it in the open. Is it still something you want to do?
Oh, yeah. I just didn't know how you wanted to play that out since it's happening secretly.
It's cool that it's happening secretly. Like, I think the dwarves are probably busy enough with this whole siege engine construction.
Yes. They have made their own fiery spectacle.
Yes. So would you like to, like, reveal what your plan is?
Before we do that, I was going to say that when we're going to go assembling this big army of dwarves to go attack him, I was going to have Flint not be there, given what he did last time.
Indeed. I think that's cool. So this is why I think we should take Flint's intent out in the open, because then we can consider, like, is he there? What's he doing?
And the answer is no. I'm not sure how I want to play it.
I'd ask you to trust us, like, however it's going to shake out. They're just our characters.
After Flint dons his cloak and goes off saying that he's going to look for Dooney's cohorts, he has a change of heart. And seeing, you know, this fire-breathing monster that the dwarves have made, he sneaks off and goes down to the spider lair and tells them to flee because the dwarves have made a fire-breathing dragon.
That's
his intent.
We'll see how that shakes out.
The worst thing that can happen is it's a hostage situation. You know, he is a scout and he is sneaky.
See, I usually have Flint take care of traitors, so who am I going to have to take care of Flint? No!
I mean, it's interesting that Flint no longer has the belief that, you know, so long as Fandral blazes a path for dwarven glory, he has my axe. That's no longer on your sheet. It's just, it's other things. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Well, because I know that the spiders are not monsters. They're, well, they are kind of monsters, but they can think and they can plan. I don't know if it's a goddamn gift that no one told me about, because I've never tried to talk to spiders before.
Indeed.
But I sense that they can be an ally, and burning them to a crisp isn't going to achieve that. And all we're going to do is end up burning the brewery down to the ground. So my motives are pure if my tactics are not.
Okay, so we have a bunch of dwarves building this thing, and we have a bunch of dwarves on regular patrol, some of which is human co-opted. So I think if you want to get away, it's essentially going to take a stealthy test to get away from the other dwarves, from the hold, without anyone like realizing it or stopping you per se.
Well, I have a B4 in stealthy. I'm learning my way around the hold. So I've got hold wise, and I've got a really cool distraction going on down in the square where the fire machine.
I'd say it's an op 2. I'll give you an advantage for the events. If Fandral is in any way keeping an eye on Flint, I think we should roll a versus test between you instead of the flat ob 2.
Yeah.
I like ob 2.
Well, I mean, consider that you've been a bit unstable seeming. So,
exactly. Yes, like I said, I was going to make sure that someone was keeping an eye, keeping him close, keeping him here, so he didn't get in the way when we launched our assault.
Okay, so what, you're going to like tag an axe bearer to follow me?
Yeah, or make sure that Bruna needed you for something, and so you had to stay with her.
Contrive a story.
Yeah.
Okay. You
know, talk to her.
We can work that.
And acting a little squirrely, I think, keep him close.
Fair enough.
All right, now Bruna is actually still laid up with a completely broken leg.
Yes.
So it's not someone who can hobble about?
Right. I'm going to think...
You bastard. I know where this is going.
Flint needs to be with her and take care of her right now.
Because I have that instinct.
Oh, you don't have to act on it. It just gives you a fate if it gets you in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to say no to a lady. Yeah.
I think you'd earn fate either way, because you also have never leave a task undone, and you now have the whole peacemaking with the spiders thing. So
now it's your job to put all that together.
Yeah, I'm thinking because it seems like the prince has some agency in this, so I wouldn't just want to relegate it to a test made by another dwarf or a flat test. And it's not like the prince is sitting on a rock waiting for Flint to pass by. So it's not like observation.
It's Machiavellian manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say it's probably persuasion or command for the prince. It depends on how you want to approach it. If you want to seek out Bruna and surreptitiously or like Machiavellian-esque, like say, like, you know, call, send for him, you know, and make sure he stays, that would be persuasion. If you want to delegate duty to someone to keep an eye on him, that would be command.
Persuasion sounds good.
Mm.
Sounds like the way he'd work.
Because the prince, he was born with a silver tongue.
With the devious, devious silver tongue. Silver tongue and silver spoon? Yikes.
He's got a full set of tools in his mouth.
Let's not go there.
That's what she said.
I think I'm going to lower the obstacle because you're kind of... You're touching upon someone who matters to her. It wouldn't be her full will. Oh, and she's hurt. Good point. So it's like ob 2.
That's it. Browbeat the defenseless. Jeez.
See, this is what you should be doing with your intimidation skill if you want to raise it. Like, you should go to the people who are hurt or ailing and like, yeah. Strike first. Strike goblin first. Intimidate second. That's what you do. But then I'm already kind of relegating. So let's say this. Let's do a persuade versus stealth test instead. If you succeed, I'll give you an advantage because you're kind of touching upon Bruna's sort of personal beliefs there, Fandral. But just so we have a straight like versus test instead of a convoluted like, yeah, you tell Bruna and then Bruna does this and, you know, but Flint ignores his instinct and then, you know, we're back in the sort of not good place. I think the persuade test for Fandral is Bruna and probably like, hey, Frumi, keep an eye on Flint. And hey, you band of brothers, scouts, you know, Flint's been acting a bit weird, like maybe you should. So it's more than just going to Bruna, right? So that's your persuasion plus one die. And Flint will do his stealthy, plus, I guess, hold-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you feel like you want to... Oh, on both sides, right? Is there anything that you feel like you could levy or fork in?
Conspicuous. Can it be used to be not conspicuous?
Yes, it's called inconspicuous and is a different skill.
Crap.
But I feel like stealthy, that's you avoiding everyone. Inconspicuous mm-hmm. is, oh, I'm just walking through this crowd and I totally belong. Or, you know, I'm not at all on my way to knife the prince.
Well, stealthy and hold-wise seem to be the way to go. And if it becomes multiple tests and we get into the tunnels, then I can switch to tunnel-wise.
Do you have tunnel-wise?
Yes.
You should have. You could use hold-wise and tunnel-wise, and you're then stealthy. I guess Fandral could conceivably use command, use his influence as the prince.
We're both escalating our dice rolls. So I'm up to 4 plus a couple of forks and a distraction for 7 die.
And you have 6 to begin with, right, Fandral?
Mm-hmm.
And a die for doing the Bruna thing, okay. And one for
command.
So you're up to 8, right?
8 versus 7. Well, that's still possible, I suppose.
Before we test, if there is a defender here, I'm leaning toward it being Fandral. Do you think that's an appropriate perception?
It is his town, and I'm the one trying to sneak out of it without any of his agents noticing me, so yeah.
Okay, so in a tie, Fandral is going to win the versus test.
Is there anything we can do to make this more difficult?
I don't know. You tell me. Are there any?
Well, I'm not going to set the town on fire or anything.
No, okay. All right.
We'll leave that to Ufkel.
I guess it depends on how important this test is to you.
Well,
burn, baby, burn.
I haven't decided if it's worth persona or not, so I'm still gnawing on that because I am down to 3, and I think I'm going to need those because things are escalating. So, yeah, we'll just go with our 7 die.
I'll spend...
3. 3.
We'll spend 2 just to get me to 10. Nice rounder number.
This is like, I know he's doing it because he likes me. Damn it. Well,
I'm only looking out for you, Flint. Stop struggling.
Well, Fandral, I wish you luck. I wish you my kind of luck.
All right. Well, it's a versus test. So, you know, you roll any time and we have our die pools knocked out.
Okay, so let's throw down 7 dice. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 successes and a 6.
I've only got 3 and 2 sixes, so we'll try.
Seems like it's fate spending time, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely we'll spend a fate point.
The fate of the dwarves!
No, it's the fate of the spiders, actually. I believe the dwarves will murderize them. Didn't get an extra one, so I am at 5.
I got 2 more, and one of those was a 6.
Keep rolling.
No, more.
So what's your total again? 5 for Flint and 5 for Fandral?
Yep.
That means the tie goes to Fandral, so...
It was a good try.
Yeah. So Flint, I guess you're being all stealthy and stuff. You're nearing the, like, outer perimeter, and then Froomey spots you. He's not part of the guards keeping an eye on that portion of Scoria down toward the spiders. He just seems to be wandering around, and he spots you and goes, "Oh, Flint, Bruna is looking for you."
That's worth a face palm, right? It's like, okay. So
just come and listen, yeah.
Well, I actually have a thing for Bruna as well. So is it important?
Well, it's not my you know, business, but it seemed urgent.
Where is she staying?
Well, she's still laid up, so over by Stonebones.
Oh, yes. Where did Stonebones set up shop?
I believe over in the old... Rock Hewer Clan's hall, pulled name from ass.
Hey, that was well pulled. If there's not a Rock Hewer Clan, then there needs to be one.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Froomey. I can still get to the spiders in time.
Are you all right? You seem a bit distracted.
Oh, I'm devious. I'll bring him in close. I says, I'm actually worried that there's agents and cohorts of Dooney still in the city. We need to keep an eye out for them.
What? No. Here?
Well, you weren't with us when we went to the Goddardam Hold. They gutted it, and it was dwarves who did it. You can tell by the marks.
The rotten bastards. Like, you can see him, like, imagining strangling the...
Okay.
Of Dooney, right? Well, should we keep an eye out for strange-looking dwarves, or maybe they use humans?
Be on your guard. I have no idea. I haven't got a description yet, but what I'm looking for are dwarves that are not northern dwarves, that are still
hanging out with the humans.
Will do.
So if you can keep an eye out for them, I'd appreciate it. Oh, clap on the back. Well, we'll see what's up with Bruna. She better have a good story.
So I was thinking about trying a new type of bread. What do you think?
Help with my hair. Well, imagine, yes. Congrats to you, Fandral.
Successfully preventing you from betraying the party.
What's yes. funny is I was going to say it's going to be Froomey at the tunnels, and somebody read my mind like a comic book.
Do you return to Bruna?
Sure.
What do you do?
Okay. Because, you know, there's still time to warm the spiders, I say to myself.
Mm-hmm. So what's a cool – anyone, what's a cool element that marks the Rock Hewer clan's hall, right? What's like, special about it?
Oh, it's got to look like Stonehenge.
Oh, so it's all, like, it's basic and rugged to yes. denote who lives there? Okay, I get it.
Yeah, as opposed to all the – everything that's, like, fine and frilly and carved, and this is – raw rock.
And there's sigil is a crossed hammer and pickaxe that looks a bit like a hammer and sickle for some reason.
Their house words, you know, are
there's a big old slab, stone slab table that you realize is one slab that was carefully carved, cut and carved out.
So can you move the furniture? No, they carved it out of the living rock. The table is actually part of Scoria Deep.
Yeah, I like that. So you make your way to the Rock Hewer clan's hall. It's thinner. It doesn't have a whole lot of, like, super hurt dwarves anymore. I think the one who was worse off was the Colmore, whatever his name was, the dwarf who was tortured. He's still there, and Scully is still there with his burns and all that.
Have we moved in the rest of the dwarves from our field camp? Are they all in here now?
All the dwarves are.
So that means either Four or Kain is in here too, then.
Keem or Kaim, or however. Where you're supposed to say his name, but you'll discover that when you take bandages off.
Keen on Kain.
It's lucky that you don't have, like, advanced medical technology, because then Stone Bones and Slate would have been using the wrong medical charts.
Wrong blood type.
Yes, everything's wrong. He's never going to recover. So as you enter the dwarven version of you know, Stone Bones MD or House MD or whatever, you see close to the entrance, there's a cot where Bruna is laid up. With like her leg is all in bandages, and she's thumbing through.
It has an elegant splint.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Yeah, very nicely done. Probably recently changed by Stone Bones.
I'm just trying to get the proper mindset. I could see Flint coming up, arms crossed, looking down. So, Bruna, Raven Wife, why have you summoned me?
Oh, I almost don't want to go into the scene, because that's a great. Close, like,
and well, we can leave it right there if you want.
I guess we could go around the dwarves and see if there's anything else you would like to do in preparation for next session, when we're probably gonna assault the spiders.
Well, Fandral is obviously putting together a strategy here for how we're gonna make the assault and getting everybody organized so we can have his call on trade at least.
He's in the war room. And there is no fighting in the war room.
And the dragon is pivotal to your strategy.
I actually can see Ulfkel busily assembling his, you know, a small team. He's looking at his dream and saying, "You have to stay. I'll be taking the apprentices with me, and I'm dicking them up with what I can find in terms of fireproof gear, because we're going to be operating the siege weapon."
Well, yeah, you're the crew.
But my fellow brewers, they're staying behind, because someone's got to be around just in case it goes ass end up.
I mean, Rory and Bear and Aethelwald. So the expendable apprentices are with you.
Murtaugh, over here. Rudy, over here. You got to be helping me.
You know, I think Aethelwald is like, I should be on the engine. You know, if something happens to you, I still know a good deal of the operations. I could take over if you were hurt.
That's a good thought, but yeah, I need you with those two to, you know, to help set this place up and get the breweries going.
We don't have a brewery unless we go down into the breweries and take them from the spiders. And I want to help you with that. Let Bear babysit Rory if she needs to.
I have command as a learning skill. Can I try to simply say no? Yeah, I am the head of the Brewers Guild here of Scoria Deep. I order you to stay here. and help them open up new breweries. If you even have to take over a place and turn it into a brewery. You got that, lad?
All right. If that's about how you want to play it, okay.
Yeah.
We'll do that. I think your obstacles actually, it's 4. I'm going to add 1 because you're going against one of Aethelbald's beliefs.
Yeah, so that makes it 5, makes it 10, so 66 against versus 10. Okay.
If you succeed, he will, like, begrudgingly stay back. If you don't, he's going to do something else.
Or he basically convinces me that he has to go along, I guess.
If that is the only condition you're fine with, we can do it that way. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to wing it.
I got 5. I'm halfway there, and I have 2 6s. We want Burn of Fate? Yeah, we're Burn of Fate. Right. So a total of 7 successes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can see us having the argument, and I'm just sitting there staring at him, and I go, damn, yeah, right. Cuff him against the head. Right, there. I point to Rudy and say, Rudy, you get to stay behind. I can see him just going, oh, thank God.
This is the other survivor from the Burning Brewery. So, you know, I'm sure he's very happy to be all very much away from the fire. I think this is a difficult will test for you, right?
Yeah.
I take it that stealth test I failed was also difficult.
5 versus how many dice did you roll?
I had 7 dice with 5 successes. And
that should be difficult, yes.
What did I learn from this failure? Keep an eye on Froomey.
I can't wait to next session when you're like forced to stand beside Fandl and as he's like gloriously leading everyone to slaughter the spiders and all you can hear are, ah!
Yeah.
No, when that's going on, he's going to be dealing with Bruna.
Oh, right, okay. You know, if I were the director or writer of this show, if we imagine a TV show, I would definitely have Flint, like, chained to Fandral's chariot beside him and having stand there be forced to watch and, like, see what he failed to stave off.
Wow, I can see you're a different director than I am. I was going to have him chained to Bruna.
Oh, that was
this is not the Game of Stones.
Well, we'll get there. I guess we'll go to Arkham. Let's look over your wonderful beliefs, or not so wonderful beliefs, depending on who you ask. So let's start with Fandral from the bottom. You led the dwarves away from the spiders. Well, I guess the quest to ensure that Flint is not eaten by spiders is ongoing. So I'll give you a persona for the lead away and a fate for making sure he's not eaten by spiders. Okay. Still,
it's been reasonably successful so far.
Yeah.
Despite your best efforts, yes.
Yes. And a fate for helping with a means to deal with a spider infestation. Mm-hmm. Let's go up to Flint.
Nope. Peace is one way to deal with the infestation.
Yeah. You just never had that conversation. Maybe you were distracted or something there, Flint.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you learned a little bit of a secret about your family, right?
Yeah.
That's a persona point.
Huzzah.
And in that case, I'm not going to touch the scout score deep and learn her secrets.
Because I didn't.
Yeah,
it was more
pertaining to your family. Yeah. You did try to broker peace with the spiders by sneaking off, so that's a fate. And that's it for your beliefs.
And my instincts tripped me, though. Task undone and never say no to a lady are conflicting and gnawing on my spinal.
You should get a fate for getting your axe back there and placing yourself in harm of getting boiled and burned. and so should Ulfkell for following his obsessed and impulsive traits.
So that'd be what, a fate each?
No, I'm just going with one of them, either one. Either one works, but obsessed seems to be the one, appropriate.
Well, one fate for the act.
Yeah. And let's check out Ulfkell's beliefs. Well, a fate for working towards dealing with a spider infestation. Mm-hmm. And no real singing witch yet. No retrieving Nogris piece.
It ain't over until the witch sings, okay?
I got a feeling that the witch and mother are the same person, but we'll find out.
I'll give an embodiment to all of you.
And that's persona?
Yes, embodiment persona. Considered Moldbreaker, right. but since for Flint, but...
More like whipped. Froomey was a good call, because I wouldn't shank for him.
okay, fair enough. I'm going to give you a mold breaker because you could have conceivably shanked someone else. That's another persona.
Okay.
And then we get to the voting, which is entirely on you. So workhorse for helping and so forth, having gear, red gear.
I think Ufkel was slaving away in the background building our device.
Yeah, that's the whole technological terror thing. It's going to be pivotal.
So a persona workhorse for Ulfkill. Any MVPs?
Well, if you phrase it as couldn't have done it without, we couldn't have done it without the prince's resources.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how you're supposed to reward it.
Drives the story to its conclusion. Who shines in the last moments?
Well, he's gotten everything he wanted.
Yes. I mean, he foiled Flint and favored Ulfkill. So, I'd say that definitely put it together for us.
How do you guys feel about the PvP elements so far? I'm bringing it up because, you know, Todd, you approached me first secretly about Flint's, you know, intention.
Well, I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
I have those now.
Is it an all right thing, or should we do more or less of it?
I think we're kind of sort of at a good balance. We haven't gotten to the point where we're stabbing each other in the back and slitting throats in the night. So it's not past any line or threshold that I'm concerned about. It's more playful in character,
all right,
role-playing stuff. So, you know, it's just the way it's worked out. And the whole am I sane angle is still playing around in my head. Yeah, so that would be a nice thing to have found inside the Goddardam library, is that Goddardam, friend of spiders. Oh!
Oh, spoilers galore.
Spider minions, maybe.
Spider minion.
Spider minion, spider minion.
Okay, this is just creepy. I don't imagine it, but you know, you sit there, you get the crest, you see the tree, and then you realize that's not fruit hanging from the tree. It's just hordes of spiders. It's like, well, this is not the history I wanted.
They called him Bar the Mad Reason. Well, okay, I mean, so long as it's not a frustrating element of the game, that you're not, like, working against each other. I remember we did have that one duel of wits about the vault that Bardi wanted to go to.
And I thought that was perfectly appropriate, too. Because, you know, if it was all Dick and Jane and Spot, go see them run all in the same direction, happy-go-lucky, it wouldn't be as dwarfy, because dwarves dig and get into dark places.
With Fandral and Flint, I'm hoping it hasn't been me squashing Todd. What you're wanting to do is...
Oh, no.
Or vice versa.
Actually, I think it's been wonderful fun. If you can imagine fun frustration. This is like, you thwarted me. Good one. So
it's almost like a one-upmanship in practical jokes.
In some ways, as long as it doesn't escalate to exploding dragons, we'll be fine.
That's my job. Okay, I'm glad that it's not a frustrating frustration, or that it detracts from the game. If it does, like, don't be afraid to, like, go, hey, this is not fun or cool.
You would hear something along the lines of, that's not cool. So,
all right.
You know, if we need a safe word, there you go.
Just making sure that we're all, like, on the same page and happy about the game and where it's going.
I love Flint being torn between instincts and beliefs and all that.
And greed. Must get greed.
Ooh. Greed hasn't hit him yet. When that crest rears its head, then things will get interesting.
You're not power, right? You're craftsmanship, beauty, and wealth.
Yes.
It's
and I think that's perfect, because I've seen the power carrot dangled before, and it's just like, but it's not his nature. The fun thing is, all in all, if you look at the instincts, beliefs, and all that stuff, Flint and Fandral do care about the welfare of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just funny that sometimes they're at cross purposes, even though it's like, I've got your back, and I'll make sure you stay out of trouble. Okay.
You want to go get in trouble so much, though.
It might be my nature as a scout. A scout that does not get into trouble isn't doing his job.
I thought it was the other way around. They're not supposed to get into trouble. They're supposed to scout things out and then go back.
Oh, that's right. They're supposed to
find the trouble but not be part of it.
Yes.
One of those lessons I keep forgetting.
Maybe the dwarf school of scouting is slightly different.
Well, I think this is a good call to skedaddle.
Yeah.
I will catch you all later. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye, guys. Yeah. It's funny, I've been watching a little bit of the Roll20 Burning Wheel game. Mm-hmm. I mean, sadly, it's like on in 2 in the morning for me, so, you know, I catch the first hour and then go,
You know they record it, don't you?
Yeah, I occasionally catch it, like on Sunday or whatever, when they release it. But yeah, I see Adam doing, like, goofs that I did, and then I'm like, ah, okay, I'm not so terrible.
And you immediately jump to the comment section to correct him.
I have an urge, but then I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be that guy. You're doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah, well, that's why we're talking while he's at the loo. He says,
surprise me with what? I'm sorry, what?
Nothing, never mind.
Send all complaints and other feedback. SunnySkypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, SunnySkypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.